And welcome to the Tater Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to call this our continuing coverage because we want to keep up with two unfolding struggles, that of Syria to drive out all the enemies that have come from various quarters, South Saudi Arabia, Turkey, all sponsored and engaged with the U.S., trying to remove the government of Syria. And so we're going to be talking about that matter with Zafar Bengash. That'll be toward the end of the show. And we will be talking, first of all, about also the visit to Burundi by members of the Security Council. That's a story that really has to be understood. Samantha Power led a delegation into Burundi using the country as a backdrop for her own opinions. But in between, we will talk to Robin Philpott in Montreal about why Quebecers, French Canadians, are objecting, at least in the theater reviews and movie reviews, I should say, to this new film called Revenant, a brand new word we're all learning to say, Revenant, Back from the Dead, starring Mr. DiCaprio. Oscar season. I noticed, by the way, that we have to spend 3 months out of the year talking about Oscars, the white Oscars, as Spike Lee points out. But this is not only does Hollywood erase black Americans and Latino Americans and others, but they also like to erase a lot of history. And in this case, the French trappers of what is called the American West. But we're joined now by Lebanie Tazira. Are you there, sir?
Hi, Phil.
Hey, good to talk to you. We have a very important matter. We've had this experience of how U.S. and its allies work towards elimination of governments that they don't like, and it's been. At this point, I think our listeners are somewhat initiated to the issue. But one of the chapters that is unfolding now is that the United Nations Security Council members have paid a visit to Burundi, and you're a Burundian American and know about all these things. They had talks of some type in Burundi over the weekend, and then Samantha Powers, leading the American delegation, immediately said a number of things that were unhelpful to the stability and safety of the people of Burundi by expressing her displeasure at the government. The first question I want to ask you is, how does that council come to visit Burundi? One of the things I noticed they hype is they said, for the second time in 10 months, we have convened in Burundi to talk about matters. Who decided that, to go there?
So, first of all, the decision to go to Burundi was made in December of last year, 2015. Mm-hmm. And in December of 2015, the UN Security Council presidency was under the U.S., mm-hmm. under Samantha Power herself. Mm-hmm. She has a vendetta against Burundi. Mm-hmm. Why? There's many reasons. But she called for that meeting, and even before that, she called for a meeting before that 10 months ago.
So that's the authority that a chairman of that period of time as chair of the Security Council, they can set an agenda such as that.
Yes, they can.
So it'll be a while before they can pull this trick again, in other words, because when it falls into the hands of somebody else.
I don't think they'll pull the trick again because the meeting ended up being an embarrassment for her because a lot of the UN Security Council members, first of all, countries like China and Russia didn't even send the ambassadors. You know, mm-hmm. they sent like three levels down representatives because they know it's a bluff. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the only true UN ambassadors that were there were the ambassador of U.S., the UK, I think the UK?
I take
Angola.
The UK, yes.
And Angola is the president, actually, of when it comes to matters of Burundi, put the head, as an African country, as a senior African country at the UN Security Council, because Senegal and Egypt are new, they put Angola to head the trip. And one of the guys from the African countries, actually, when they got to Burundi at the hotel, he made this comment to the Burundian, said, "I thought I was coming to a war zone, but I feel like I'm in Hawaii."
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
she wasn't able to control all the comments of others attending.
No, she couldn't. Mm-hmm. And when they got there, they were met with so many people on the streets the first day in Bujumbura. Peaceful protesters, not the ones that actually shoot cops and throw bombs in the streets. These mm-hmm. are protesters with big leaflets and big signs saying, "No genocide in Burundi. Stop interference. Mm-hmm. Respect our security forces." Mm-hmm. Those are the main signs we're putting out in the street. And there's a video from the AFP that shows a protester. He can't even speak French or Swahili. French or even English. He only speaks Swahili. And this guy talks about, "We're out here to prove to Samantha Power," specifically, mm-hmm. "that what the insults she throws around about Burundi are not true." Mm-hmm. So the population is tired of hearing these insults and these threats from Samantha Power. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's important that I read last week of the meeting, there's a site that's like a UN website where they put briefs and release articles about what's going on in the Security Council. Someone actually said that Samantha Power, her treatment of Burundi goes beyond the U.S. delegation. Mm-hmm. And that line captured me, which means it goes beyond what the U.S. actually wants for Burundi. It's become personal. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying this for months, and I felt very relieved that that magazine would say that.
Uh-huh.
Because I've been calling this for long, saying what he's doing is absurd, mm-hmm. it's irrealistic, and it comes from an inborn hate that he has against Hutu people, Hutus. Mm-hmm. He thinks that since you're born a Hutu, then you're automatically a genocidaire.
Yeah.
And well, so we have to watch you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she cut her teeth on this issue with her notorious book, Problem from Hell. But of course, the U.S. Finds this very convenient to have always something on a country where they can say, we don't like this about you, and we've are going to stay on your case until you change. But definitely one of the things that's changed is that the Security Council isn't the one that used to go along with everything America wanted. I noticed that the Russian representative, the quote I saw from him was, because everybody put the question, what about the AU force coming in? And he said they don't actually need a foreign police effort. What they need is a stronger police department, a police force of their own.
So,
that is a
yes.
totally different tack. And by the way, a rather helpful point.
Yeah, so what happened is this whole theatrical show that was set up by Ambassador Power was to convince the AU and the UN Security Council that going twice in Burundi means that the situation is unattainable. And so the Russian group and the Chinese and Africans, they were quiet. I mean, until the end. She was throwing bombs at the beginning, making bad statements about how Burundian security forces are racists and all these things. Whereas the Russians and the Angolans, the Chinese, they kept silent until the end of the trip because they went there to do an analysis mm-hmm. of the situation. And what the Russians said was, we've been through the whole country. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, actually, interesting. The president of the UN right now is from Uruguay. of the Security Council. And what happened was actually the president of Burundi asked them to meet them up country and not in Bujumbura. Up country in a province called Karuz. That's the province where France 3 had lied that there was genocide going on, and then it was disproved, and they were forced to apologize. So Ambassador Power refused that they go up there, and the Uruguayan person said, no, we cannot impose a leader where to meet when we're going to visit them. They tell us where to meet. And so they moved it actually closer, 100 miles, to Gitega, which is the central of the country. And they were able to now actually, the next day, drive deep in the country, left and right. They could not see any signs of a war in country, a country that's in the midst of war, people who are scared, people out there dancing, and it was like a big party when they were seeing the cars go by. And many times, even the cars of the UN would stop and take photos of people dancing on the way there.
By the way, you're saying Samantha? Did she end up going, or did she
on that
drive? She did that.
She had no choice. All 15 countries had to go every time. And so when they went there, and that's why I like the fact that the Russians and the Angolans made the statement at the end. You know, so at the end, the Russians, they said, listen, we've come here, we've listened to all sides, seen the situation. The problem that we have in Bujumbura, not Burundi, in Bujumbura, one city, is maybe a security issue. The police might need some better training.
Well, and, or reinforcements. I mean, you have it isn't a small thing. These are very dangerous characters. Because it hasn't been properly identified as to source of their weapons, their training, and their willingness to go after, in typical terrorist fashion, to strike wherever they feel, killing innocent people.
During that meeting, actually, what's important is the government said all these things, most of them, the arms, the fighters, are coming from Rwanda. And that's one thing that was huge in the press conference. And the reporters kept pressing them, are you going to sanction Rwanda? Because they have proved, people that keep the rebels that are arrested, they always say we came from Rwanda. You get the weapon, Rwanda. That comes up every time. And so for the first time, the question was brought up. And the Security Council said, yes, they're going to look at the question of Rwanda. Finally, because the government for the last 8 months has been laying blame at Rwanda, because last year, before the elections, 5 months before, in December 2014, there was a group of 300 rebels that attacked from Rwanda. And the government said to people, hey, this came from Rwanda, and nobody listened. But now, with numerous arrests, and even like when refugees...
Hello? I think I lost a bit there. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, good. Now, well, on that point, you said that they did get members of that delegation to say, yes, we will look into that. But my memory is that Samantha Power herself neutralized all the language. So she didn't acknowledge that it would be Rwanda they'd even be talking about. They said other parties have to be careful about what they're doing, some sort of nostrum of that type.
Yes, for so long, because Rwanda is her favorite friend in the world. Rwanda can do no wrong. And so during this meeting, I think they did a very good thing, the Burundian authorities, to say, you guys are here on the ground, and this is a problem, you know? Please talk about it. And even for the first time ever, because there's a video that's online right now, and the press keeps pressing her on the question of Rwanda. And she finally says, we addressed it privately, and now we're addressing it publicly. That it's an issue. But still, she's very soft on Rwanda. She's very soft on Rwanda's president going for a third term. you know, she says nothing about it. But Burundi is an issue, mm-hmm. and that's where we know her game. It's all about trying to replace Nkurunziza. She's not happy that her guy, Alexis Nduhije, who she her prodigy, mm-hmm. Never got to be president, or his people to in power, and that's I think that's where she has all the spite against Burundi.
Yeah. Now, again, this is Labani Tazira, and Burundian American follows these things, obviously, very closely. There is a detail there that I want to ask you about. There is talk of moving the capital to that location where they did have the meeting. Is that true?
That's 100% true. And that actually dates a while back. A lot of Burundians actually want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because
is that a historic center? A historic capital? Is it Gitega?
Yes. Under the monarchs, Gitega was the capital. And then the colonials, the Belgians, when they came, they set it more to Bujumbura. Because they made Bujumbura the capital of Usumbura, of Rwanda, Burundi, which is Rwanda, Burundi.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like a relaxing area.
Mm-hmm.
And so they switched the capital.
And more convenient for the Belgians who didn't want to go in country, right?
Yes. And also for those who are doing what they're doing in Congo, they come back to Burundi and relax.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But a lot of Burundians, this is not a ethnic, political thing, but most Burundians actually like the idea of Gitega being a the capital. And that's part of the changes to the constitution mm-hmm. that might change the capital. This year, mm-hmm. in Gitega.
Well, that would be very dramatic. It probably, as you say, very popular. I noticed one other thing that, and I'd like our listeners and everybody to think about it. Samantha Powers gave an interview yesterday, I think it was, in which she said, "Well, I'm going to call on the other African states to put pressure on the government of Burundi to change its position." I mean, that's such a classic line out of the mouth of a colonialist. The colonialists, I mean, what else do we know about them? But divide and rule was the method by which they dealt with people. And it's here it is. She's saying it aloud. I want you to go tell him to obey me. It's amazing.
It's insulting. Here's one thing that's important. The UN Security Council met with the AU Peace and Security Council right after that meeting in Burundi. They said the meeting went for 3 hours and the meeting was so heated. Because after being in Burundi, the Security Council members were against the AU Peace and Security Commission's idea of sending that invasion force of 5,000 troops to Burundi.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that her influence in the Security Council on the Burundi issue, has faded.
Uh-huh.
They've been proven to be off topic and very biased.
Yes,
and that trip only disproved all her allegations against Burundi.
Yeah, and let's go to the key allegation, which is the drum she won't stop beating. She says, "I want to go in here. I want forces because I don't want another Burundi, Rwanda. I don't want another genocide." But, you know, it's such an insult because you can remind us this is not an ethnic government in the sense of one group, ethnic group being in charge. This is a result of the Arusha agreements, and it's a multi-ethnic state. And it's an absolute crazy insult to throw in their teeth. Because they told her to her face, there won't be a genocide, and she says, "I'm worried about a genocide." It's maddening.
First of all, the maddening thing to me is, she talks about genocide, she talks about Rwanda, and not Burundi's own genocide. That's the number one insult.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Burundi is a country that respects its constitution. The constitution is respected fully. When you look at the president, the two vice presidents of different ethnic groups, I mean, even the president.
The army,
himself,
the police?
Oh, everything. 50-50 in the army, 60-40 in the police. The Senate is 50-50, Hutu Tutsi. The House is, you know, 60-40. Mm-hmm. There's an overrepresentation of Tutsis who are 14%.
Mm-hmm.
they're the ones who are happy. Actually, the Hutus are the ones who are actually mad sometimes for mm-hmm. being underrepresented. But there's no sign of them complaining,
yeah.
you know? And it's amazing how the only person who's screaming about genocide is two group of people. The Mata Power and Belgium, and the other group is Burundi opposition that's abroad.
Mm-hmm.
The Burundian yeah. opposition in the country denies anything about any signs of genocide.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are abroad,
mm-hmm.
and Belgium and the Mata Power,
mm-hmm.
are the ones who are calling genocide. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the reason why this trip backfired on her. You know,
yeah.
the Security Council well, members mm-hmm. went there and saw the bluff that she's been talking about on Burundi.
I agree with you. In objective terms, it did backfire. However, one of the reasons we talked to you is that that isn't actually being reported in the New York Times and the Washington Post. I think my guess is that Russia, China, most African population of Africa absolutely agree with you that they can see through this.
What happened is she tried to bring the other countries that cannot be swayed for the last 9 months, Russia, China, and so on. And she wanted there to be chaos. And in her mind, too, I'm sure she thought there'd be dead bodies all over the country,
yes.
you know. But I think coming there didn't help at all. And she made a statement where she said, nothing. Her conclusion was it was a terrible visit, that nothing was agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's good. If nothing was agreed upon her, that's mm-hmm. very good, because she's a danger, and only a danger to Burundi.
Yeah.
I mean, the country is telling you, we don't need military, we're fine. Why are you trying to force those upon us?
Well, and we can remind our listeners, too, that what is it? Is it 7,000 Burundians are serving as peacekeepers in Africa?
Over 7,000 military are serving as peacekeepers in the most dangerous, violent class countries. Number one, they're in Somalia, with the biggest contingent in Somalia. They're in Central Africa. They're in Mali, another dangerous war.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing an excellent job.
Yeah,
you know,
and their government is being slandered by the United States representative to the United Nations.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You know, a lot of our soldiers, I believe about 500 have died fighting for the American interest.
Well, that's a happy story.
No, I mean, it's sad that, you know, we're actually good partners. But someone's personal, Samantha Powell's personal interests,
yeah.
you know, are bringing about chaos.
Yeah. Well, to some degree, we have to assume that Mr. Kerry and Obama haven't actually been sound asleep. If she can pull this off, they'll pat her on the back. But it doesn't look like it will succeed.
Well, of course. Yeah. Of course.
One last thing to tell our listeners. You tell me today that there's been a little switch on the part of the so-called armed groups. What are they so-called? They are armed groups, the terrorist groups. they're losing some of their members. Is that? And we're not being told that. So tell us that story quickly, if you could.
So Burundi has so many rebellions, they're hard to count. So in the past week, apparently it was all over the French media, news blast. If you Google Burundi, that's what comes up first. There's a new rebellion called Fohebu that's led by the general called Niyombare, who's the one who did the coup d'etat. And nobody has seen him yet. Nobody knows if he's alive or dead. But they came out with a whole government that they have a structure, saying they have 18,000 men and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing is already in shambles. A lot of the members are denying they're part of it. Interesting enough, the name they have on their announcement of who's their chief of army, he went the next day on Facebook and said, don't put my name out there. I am against violence, and he actually pledged his loyalty to Nkurunziza.
that's a good one. That is a good story.
So,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so we don't know if it's what's going on, if it's another media thing that the French are doing to show that Burundi has a very dangerous rebellion it's facing, so the African troops have to come in.
They're having trouble hiring actors, is my impression.
They don't pay enough. And you know what? Burundi has to thank history to understand why they've survived so far, because history has proven that this intervention only caused chaos, whether in Rwanda, whether in Ivory Coast, whether in Libya. Mm-hmm. These interventions have never worked, and they only come there to bring to spur violence. And one important thing: if you bring in this 5,500 troops to Burundi, you know the military is half Tutsi and half Hutu. Mm-hmm. It can devalue the president's authority if a foreign army comes in.
Of course,
and some of the elements who are on the edge.
Yes.
Can finally say, oh, now we have someone else on our side.
Yes, exactly.
And that's a danger to destabilize the nation
much. You've put your finger on it very nicely. That's exactly what happened in Rwanda. You diminish the authority of the president, confuse the population, and then add in hysterical language from abroad, and then you have mayhem. Lebanese Tazira, it's always great to talk to you. Boy, we're up to date, and I'm glad that you could tell us all this. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Okay, bye-bye. That's Lebanese Tazira. And by the way, go to Burundi-24 for updates and find more information.